Nothing? You're not going to say it?
I already whispered it.
Okay.
You whispered might not get butt at the beginning of the thing.
Oh, I heard welcome you. Aboard, butt.
Is that what you want us to refer to as for the whole podcast? So what are your thoughts on this butt?
I just wanted to say something stupid. To see
well
if
done.
He even picked up on it. It seemed for a second like he didn't, but Wes caught it.
It's like when I tell Wes it's a zero edit show, the first thing that pops into his mind is
racial slur.
No. Oh, Wes, you don't remember this?
I'm not saying it.
Okay.
Just oh, else bite. Just else bite.
I can't think of a Wes-like
Fair
thing
enough.
That he would say.
Whenever I would say, like, this is a zero edit show, the first thing out of Wes's mouth is penis. Every single time.
Oh, I would love it if, like, the next time you're like, this is a zero edit podcast, he just, like, goes and finds the noisiest food he can find and then crunches into
just
the
like
mic.
A bag of Doritos.
Yeah, just like... Just crunches.
Me
right
eating
here.
On the air, that's ridiculous. That
oh, yeah, you're such a professional. Jeez. I would never do it.
What is it that you have there? Is that some sort of wafer?
Yeah. Vanilla wafer. Delicious.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That is like a low effort food.
Yep. Pretty much. So this show's already derailed.
I think so.
Yeah, that's okay. This is a mini show, so we'll talk about whatever we damn well please. I got a few games that I'm going to bring up, but I'm not really going to talk about any of them for any great length of time. Ryan, you got a few games?
I have exactly two games.
Perfect. But the one I want to hear most about is from Wes.
Really?
Because, yeah, what's... Tell me about the game that you know I want to hear about.
But I got wafer in my mouth.
Yeah, he's been playing that, like, Kuni no Senpai game, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Baka Chin Chin, I think that's what it's called.
As I'm trying to get this down my throat.
Yeah, you would get a Chin Chin down your throat.
But
go on.
I've been playing Ni no Kuni 2. So, it was on sale on the PlayStation for download, and so I grabbed it and gave this thing a shot.
How much was it?
It was $20 with the DLC. So I went ahead and just grabbed the whole thing. I don't even know if I'm going to like it enough to play the DLC, but I got it nonetheless. But this game is a action RPG, kind of like Trials of Mana,
mm-hmm.
where you have your characters, and it's more like a hack and slash. And you have you hit R2, you hold R2 to hit whichever the four abilities you have mapped to your buttons on the right. And there are various different things, a very different character, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the big premise of this game is weird. It's very Japan. It looks like, art style-wise, is like a Dragon Quest in art style. It's very animated. It's very... The whole thing looks like a cinematic. It's just all one look.
This game looks gorgeous, yeah, you're right.
Blends together really nicely. That's really nice of it. But you start as a weird businessman in a car driving towards, I'm guessing, New York. And then New York gets nuked and it blows up. Oh. And then the man wakes up in a younger body in this kingdom with this boy that has cat ears. Like, it's weird. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. He accepts it, like, immediately. It's like, all right, we're doing this now. And then just goes. Like, it's odd.
Do they address it?
He kind of addresses, like, he looks in the mirror, is like, I'm younger now, this is weird, and like, who are you? And it's like, I'm the king, like, you're a kid, and then...
Well, do you know what your character's name is? Do you know what the main guy's name is?
Oh, Roland?
Oh, it's not. No, that's not right. I'm reading the notes here. There's another character with an even better name.
Oh.
Yeah, Evan Pettywhisker Tildrum.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
A young king who usurped from his castle and sets out to build a new kingdom.
Oh, yeah, Evan.
Pettywhisker.
Pettywhisker, yeah, that's his name.
That's his middle name, God.
So you join him in the middle of a coup, and his kingdom of cat people gets taken over, by rat people. Yeah, this is a thing. And so you have
wow,
to
you
escape.
Wouldn't think it would be that way. You know?
Yeah.
They finally, maybe the cat people like were dicks first, and then the rat people were like, fuck you, we're taking over.
Well, the rat person was the previous king, his father's trusted advisor. It's always that guy.
Scandal.
You can never trust the trusted advisor.
You cannot.
This is Yzma.
The combat is... One thing I will say about this game that I don't like is it is very simple. The combat is pretty easy. It has a dodge mechanic in there, and so pretty much as long as you can dodge crap, you'll win every fight. I actually had to turn the difficulty up to hard because it was just way too easy. The beginning first few fights and the first boss and everything is laughable.
You're hardcore is what it is.
The game is just so easy and it's pretty simple. But it does a lot of really fun things to it. Like it has an open world when you get out of there. And it changes from its animated, beautiful looking thing to kind of like 3D rendering kind of. And there are little pieces on kind of like a board and you're moving through the open world as you're going from one area to the next. So it's kind of like Pokemon in a sense where you have your wild area, your big wild, big open area, and you see enemies on the map roaming around. You can run into them to go into combat, and then you'll go into a place like the next area or a forest or whatever, and it's pretty much a set path, like going through the routes and stuff. The nice thing about this game, and the reason why I think you would like this, John, I don't know how heavy and in-depth it is, but there's a kingdom-building mechanic.
Oh?
So the point of this game is that you are trying to create a new kingdom to create world peace by taking it over. And you're doing this...
Like you do.
And you're doing this because your child nurse lady, the person that raises you, what's the name of that lady? Caretaker?
Nanny.
Yeah, it's childhood nanny.
Your friend dresser.
Died during your escape and you promised her. Like, that's your whole motivation for doing this.
So, when does it wrap back around to the nuclear holocaust? Is, like, building the kingdom allow you to somehow prevent...
I don't think this is, like a time thing. You're literally in another world, because they address that in, like, the beginning cinematic. They're like, there's two worlds, one always in war and one that's not. And you're like, which one's not? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, one got nuked and the other you're doing an unlawful seizure of power.
It's very weird. You have your...
So wait, like, they're not going to address the nuking? Like, is
maybe
that apropos of nothing?
Maybe eventually. I don't know if it was a nuke, but yeah.
He'll get
just the missile goes right into
the
city,
way,
and then... Your car topples and everything. It's nuts. I don't know. They
You've
haven't addressed
been dead
it
the whole time.
It did not take long for Roland, the one character, to just immediately pledge his service to the boy king for like no reason. He's like, I'll serve you. I'm like, why?
So it's like the first person he met. Like, yeah, I guess I work for you now.
Yeah, like after 10 minutes, he's like, yeah, all right, I serve you. Like, why?
you gotta put yourself out there. You know, you can't just join the first coup that you come across. You gotta like.
It's not the worst storyline I've read.
The kingdom
means. You know, maybe like the rat kingdom has some openings in human resources. We don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Or rodent resources.
The kingdom building mechanic is pretty... I hate you, John. The kingdom building mechanic is pretty simple. You get passive money, and then you can collect it, and then spend it to build shops that are in preset locations. And then you can assign townspeople to the shops based on their skills, and do research to unlock more passes and things. Like, I've already unlocked something that boosts my my regular melee attacks. But you can do things to strengthen magic spells, and you can open weapon shops and item shops. There's a lumber yard to get more resources for the town building. There's a lot of little things you can manage with that.
Well, that's cool that like your town building stuff actually has a direct effect on...
Yeah.
Like how you would do in combat and stuff.
Yeah, there is straight influence. You even can, I haven't done it, I haven't been able to do it yet, but you can, eventually I can increase the keep, which will give me more space and more buildings I can get. I'm still pretty early into it, like 7 hours or so, and I finally unlocked side quests. So now I can go and do a couple of side quests here and there. There's a there's a bunch of different things going on. There's these little creatures called Higgledees. I don't know what they're called. They're
Are they hiring?
No, they're just these little... I don't know, maybe. They're these little, like, elemental things, and they do passive things in battle. And there's
when you're in battle, is this like a party based game? Like, do you have other people like fighting in battle with you? Or are you going solo?
There's three. I have four characters, but you can take three at a time, and you can toggle between them in battle as well.
Mm-hmm. And like, are they like assigned some sort of like character class, or is it like a job system where they can switch between their roles?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Like the first two, Roland and Evan, use swords. Evan uses a gun that he had on him.
Great, yes.
Roland does, not Evan. Evan uses a wand. He's he's your spellcaster.
You got to keep his gun.
You got to keep his gun
from the nuclear holocaust.
Essentially, and for some odd reason, some ring that he has that lets him use weapons or whatever allows him infinite bullets. Like, it's weird. I don't know. It does weird things.
It's quite the cold open, though, isn't it? Like, you know... Everything he knows and loves just got nuked.
He's just...
Well, welcome to a fantasy kingdom.
Yeah, here you go.
With Higgledees or whatever.
There's this really interesting mechanic. I forget what it's called. It's like tactic something. And you get passive points by leveling up, and you spend these points to unlock them. And essentially, there's four different things you can unlock. One of them is your effectiveness against various types of monsters. One is your resistances to different types of elements and status ailments. One is passive boosts, like how much your mana recovery or how quickly it takes to escape battle. And other one, you can adjust battle rewards. So I can sacrifice gold as a reward and not get as much gold in battle to boost my experience gain. Hmm. And the same thing with equipment drops and rare item rare material drops, and you can't adjust that. And the more points you invest in each of the four categories, the more points you can get into. Like, if I boost the first one to like 4 points, I could put 4 points into it to boost my effectiveness against different types of monsters. So there's a bunch of like slimes around here, I can just boost that, and I can adjust this at will.
Is that something where, like, once you make the adjustment, you can then, like, go back and subtract from that and then oh, that's interesting.
It gives you, like, you have that pool of points that you can adjust however you want. So, I thought that was a pretty cool little thing. I haven't seen a huge impact with it, but I thought it was an interesting mechanic. I haven't seen anything like that, really.
Yeah, I can see, like, there are, like, a bunch of, like, typical RPG tropes where, you know, that sort of thing would be useful to where, like, you have enough experience, you have enough cash, but now you're, like, looking for a really specific loot. Mm-hmm. So then you just, like, take away everything from getting cash and EXP and just put it into, okay, now I need rare items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun game. I think you would like it, John. You'd have to up the difficulty. Combat's not very tough. But it's a fun game, and there's a lot of different things to manage. And it's got a lot of the stuff I think you tend to like in these kind of games. So this is definitely something for you to look at if you ever get a PS4.
Or if it comes to the Super Switch.
Because I heard the Wrath of the White Witch, Ni No Kuni 1, is very different. Like, it's a completely different kind of mechanics and stuff going on to it. Like,
I was going to ask about that, because that's what a great, like, by title there. The Wrath of the White Witch. Does she make an appearance? Do we get to see what's going on in her world?
Probably. I mean, why she gotta be white? I don't...
It reminds me, like, of the Ogre Battle games and all of, like, the subtitles to those.
The March of the Black Queen.
Uh-huh.
That was actually a Queen song.
Yeah.
Apparently the creator of the game was a big fan of Queen, so he kind of took that from one of their song titles.
And there's another Ogre Battle game that has a subtitle that's pretty similar, like so that sort of like
another Queen song.
What's what I'm looking for? Like the sort of ostentatious
Fat Bottom Girls.
Anyway, anything else about Ni No Kuni, Wes, that you want to get to?
No, it's good. I'm interested to see what else goes on with it. There's a lot of little management going on. There's a lot of exploration you could do. This game's got a lot going on. There's a whole other mechanic I didn't even mention that I just remembered, but
So here's the other Ogre Battle games. Now there's Tactics Ogre, which is an Ogre Battle series. That's Let Us Cling Together.
Nice.
Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber.
Ooh, good.
And then Tactics Ogre, The Knight of Lodess, Prince of Zenobia. Yeah, I guess it's some like Lion Witch in the Wardrobe shit.
Yeah, Prince of Zenobia. That's kind of a mouthful. There's a lot going on. I mean, well, and this is no better. This is like Ni No Kuni Dominion of the Dark Djinn.
Oh my.
Like Ni No Kuni Hatroit stories? I hope
I'm
saying
that
right.
How many Ni No Kunis are there? I thought there was just the two.
I count six. The first one came out on the DS back in 2010. Looks like... a couple of these are mobile games, so... Yeah, as far
yeah,
as
those aren't real games.
Yeah.
I mean, they just generate like three times as much money as console games, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to regret saying this, but I'm going to ask this question because it'll get butt into this conversation. How is Animal Crossing?
Des, you want to feel that one?
No, it's she's butt fun. For this podcast.
Sorry.
It's fun. I'm not too happy over the mermaid things. I was excited about it when I saw just like the brief outline and the aspect of it. But then when I actually saw like some of the products, I was like, sad day. Some of them are tacky. A lot of them have a lot of fucking pink. And I understand they were marketing that aspect towards women, because most women tend to love mermaids and tend to love pink. But
that's sexist.
Indeed.
Purple is also a feminine style color, and I would have appreciated more purple rather than an overdose of pink. I feel like pink is forced upon women way too much, and I hate that color. So I was a little disappointed.
Mm. And we already have like a lot of pink representation on our island, because Puddles and Claudia and Gail, they're all pink.
Yeah, a lot of the girl characters are pink. Mm. I'm really starting to think like some of the people in Animal Crossing are like, you know what, says girl, pink.
Yeah, a Deirdre wasn't pink.
That's true, but that's also because she was a deer. Mm. I imagine they pop. Well, then again, yeah. The alligator was pink, so I don't know. Maybe there's another pink deer, we just haven't come across her.
Maybe. I don't know. If Gail or Claudia asked to move away, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not gonna keep them around.
The only one that I feel like I have any kind of real attachment to is Puddles.
Yeah, I like Puddles. Puddles is a keeper.
Everyone else can...
Simon is a keeper.
Yes, I know. You made that very, very clear after I... Not on purpose, but I kind of let him go away.
Uh-huh.
Because at first I didn't realize what would happen if somebody was like, hey, I want to move away. And I had already told someone no before, but I've never told anyone yes before. And without really consulting Jonathan, I automatically was like, okay, because I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to see if there was a second line of dialogue where he was like, really? You want me to move? And then I get and then go from there. But no, it's just like immediate yes and they're gone.
Yeah, they're moving out the next day.
They're like, okay, well, I'm moving out tomorrow. Bye!
I find it fascinating that these people on your island live by your decisions. Be like, no, I'm not allowed to move. Got it. I'll live here forever. Like,
well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, they can ask to move and then you can say no. Like, oh, you really want me to stay? I'm so moved. Well, I guess I'll hang out.
They're musing about it is what they're doing. They're sort of putting it out there in the air to see how you respond to it. They're sort of like, you know, I'm thinking about maybe trying something else in my life.
What?
And then you're like, no, we're a love forever. You can't leave.
What passive aggressive like, crap out. Is this?
But yeah, Ryan, have you indulged in Animal Crossing anymore? Since we last spoke?
Of all things, actually, my nephew got it. So I've sort of been playing a lot with him to kind of get him through the basics and stuff like that, to kind of get him through the earlier content of the game. And I forgot how fun it was to like just start the game fresh and just like not really have anything and just sort of build it up from the ground up. As far as my own play, not a whole lot, really. I've dabbled in some of the newer mechanics, but it's just, frankly, it's a lot to keep up with. You know, there's always stuff going on and like... You know, I always feel like my island's a mess, and I just boot it up, and it's like, all right, it's time to get to work, kind of clean this shit up, and get everyone in order. Oh, and I've got like four or five villagers I'm like obsessed with, and then the other ones are can all kind of just do their own thing.
Well, yeah. Today's a fireworks day. I think today's day three of fireworks. I actually didn't check out the fireworks tonight.
Yeah.
The other 2 days we checked out the fireworks, but you know, unless you're making your own custom designs, once you've seen them once, you've seen them.
Yeah. Have you guys caught any of the star fragments? Have you guys been messing around with that or making the Zodiac things by any chance?
I have a couple of the Zodiac things, mostly because they were just gifts. And we did watch a meteor shower one night a few months back. We got a bunch of star fragments out of that, but I just put them in storage. I haven't really done anything with them yet.
I know they're useful components for building wands.
Yeah.
They have some other things you can do with them, but yeah, they're pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this has actually still been out for a while, but like, you know, I was doing the whole swimming thing. I enjoyed that. It seems like every month they've got like three or four new things that they're rolling out, and it's never just like, here's a little item for you. It's here's a brand new game mechanic for you to figure out.
Yeah, you know, there's always new fish and new bugs. I think I'm caught up with all of the fish and bugs that they've released so far, except I have not caught a coelacanth yet, but I do have one in the museum because Dez caught one.
Nice. Good stuff.
That's the big fish?
That's the big fish, the one that kind of
looks I've caught three, actually.
Oh, shit. How about that?
After we put the one in the museum, I just kept selling them.
That's the one with it's like a big, wide fish with a lot of speckling on the side of it.
It looks
like
a relic. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I seem to catch, like, certain fish continuously. Like, I caught an ore fish, like, several times, and those are supposed to be pretty rare in the game. So I kept one in my house. And then I was getting, I got those guys three times, and then I got a bunch of hammerheads, so then I ended up keeping a hammerhead in my house. I'm like, these are my spirit animals, because I keep catching them.
The one that was always the trickiest for me, and I don't think it's in season at this point, but I just, for the life of me, couldn't get that fucking golden trout. Golden trout was like really, really hard to find. It was like, I think it's only spawned.
I don't think I've ever caught one.
Well, it's got a really rare place it'll be, which is like at a river mouth at the third tier. So it's got to be like your highest point on your island. There needs to be a waterfall. And it'll spawn there. And it's like not the very, very smallest fish. It's like the size above it. And the very, very smallest fish spawns there a lot. There's one of those that spawns there constantly. So it's kind of, it's visually difficult. You'll see a lot of fish there, but it's hard to be like, you know, cycling in and out and looking for like an extra large or just a medium size. So you gotta like try a lot. And I remember I probably put like 20 or 30 of those like fish food things in there to just get some spawns and try it out. Just couldn't quite make it happen. Other than that, What's up? Go ahead.
I must have just gotten real lucky then, because I caught one. I had no idea at the time that, you know, it needed to be in a specific spot that a waterfall on like a high tier.
Nice. That's a good find then, yeah. I mean, again, I was struggling with that one.
There might be a few fish like that you have to get off of a pier that I hadn't gotten yet, because that was really early days in the game, and I had no idea like certain fish would only appear when you were fishing off your dock.
Yeah.
When you go into the water to swim, do you jump every time? Or do you, like, just wade into the water from the beach?
The times that I've done it, it's usually from the top corner of my island, off of the rocks.
Yeah, so that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, there's, like, a visual. Like, I can see one right off in the distance that I know it can farm, so I always start there and kind of swim around. So I've never really tried to just kind of wade into the water like that. I mean, it's, yeah, but I don't see why not.
I saw it in one of the Nintendo's videos that they put out that you can, if you get a running start into your jump, you actually do a front flip into the water. So that's the way I do it every time now.
Oh, very cool.
I never noticed that.
So, Ryan, what else you got going on aside from Animal Crossing?
Oh, two games I kind of wanted to talk about. I've been playing more of Hotline Miami. Have you guys played that? John, I don't think
so. No.
Wes?
No, definitely not.
Oh man, this game is such a fucking blast. I love it. It really is fun. I think I've talked a little bit about it last time. I had maybe played through, I had thought was maybe about like halfway. I've now beaten the game. It's just really, really fantastic. It's this frantic kind of like shoot, not even a shooter. It's just sort of like you have to basically take out a bunch of gangsters and mobsters really, really quickly while they're all coming at you, and it all happens so insanely fast, it's kind of crazy. Like, you'll be basically in, like, one floor of a building, and you'll probably have, like, 20 things that you have to take out. And you're sort of expected to take them out, like, probably 2 a second. It has to happen insanely rapid, so it kind of creates this really frantic gameplay. It's a lot of fun, and it's so stylish. It's got a really nice style to it. It uses a lot of that pixel art stuff, and, you know, you got a lot of, like, 80s retro-ish kind of things happening. And yeah, like, each fun is kind of built for time trials, so, like, you can kind of play it as much as you want and kind of try to beat it, but again, it's also kind of like one of those, like, Celeste or Meat Boy style games where, like, you die a lot. You know, you'll die 10 times in a row within the first 2 seconds of starting it, so it just kind of keeps, you know, it kind of keeps you on your toes. You always have to play, and it's really difficult when, like, you know, you've taken out, like, 15 of the 20 guys, you've just been mowing through them, like, you know, doing all of these really neat, like, little intricate combo stuff where it's like you knock a guy down by knocking over the door, you pick up his bat, you know, you beat his face in, you go to the next guy, you knock him against the wall, steal his gun, shoot him, shoot the guy behind you, two more guys come with shotguns through the thing, you pop both of them, then you end up, like, throwing your gun, which has no ammo, into a dog.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're awful animals. Oh, and you get masks. I didn't even tell you about the masks. So, like, you know, you're doing these, essentially, these, like, hitman killing sprees. So, like, you have different masks with different power-ups, and one of them is that the dogs like you, or the dogs don't attack you. So they'll just kind of be doing their thing, wandering around, just, like, kind of on their own accord, like, doing fine. So basically all you have to worry about is all of the mobsters and stuff. Yeah, again, this game really is, it is fantastic. And the soundtrack is so, so nice. They credit all the individual bands. It wasn't like they hired a composer to do it. They're actually just using a soundtrack. And they thankfully didn't just, like, lean on a bunch of, like, cheesy 80s songs or, like, synthwave stuff or anything like that. It's just I don't know, it's really, really nice. I think I got this for, like, both of the games for, like, under $10 because it was on sale. Pay full price for it, man. It's great. If it ever comes around on sale again, absolutely get it. Just know that it's pixel violence, but it is graphically violent.
Oh, so it's good for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just see, like, little splatters of red blood. It's sort of when you pause the game and you really look at it, and you see that they articulated a lot of detail into it. Like, you know, you'll have
top-down view too. That's weird.
No, yeah. Again, it makes the game just feel so much more frantic. Yeah, it's like those top-down missions from Contra. You know, where you've kind of just gotta wander around and, like, not wander around. It's very, very tight. You know, and again, like, I'm not sure. It seems like Wes is watching gameplay.
I am. This again, is intense. Like, did he just grab the dude and just slammed his head on the ground repeatedly?
Oh yeah. You get bonus points for, like, I guess more complex kills and things like that. So, like, yeah, again, if you just basically have a gun and you shoot somebody, it's, like, you know, 300 points or whatever. But if you find a neat way to do it where it's, like, you knock them to the ground, you take their weapon, you beat them down with it, and then shoot them or something, it'll just give you extra points. Again, it's not like it's, you know, you're not playing for the sake of, like, some more gruesome death for the thing. It's just a matter of doing kind of a more clever, complex thing with the game.
Now, watching a speed run, someone beat this in 16 minutes.
Yeah, that's about sounds about right. I mean, again, you can beat most of these levels in a minute. For me personally, like, I would probably the tougher ones, I'd probably spend 15 minutes. Again, it is brutally difficult. Again, you are expected to die quite a bit, unless this guy. I'm sure this guy's a pro at it, so probably not seeing him die very often, if ever. That's an incredibly rare feat. Like, there's just so much chaos and, like, enemies can see you off screen. Those mask features are really, really cool. So you go in with the mask of your choice. So it might be like extra power with your fists. It could be like the map is now bigger. I'm trying to think of other ones. Like you start the game with a certain kind of weapon. You can survive a single bullet. Things like that. Everything will kill you. If you get hit by literally anything, you're gonna get killed. Like, you can't even punch the dogs either, by the way. You actually have to have some kind of weapon to take the dogs out. Otherwise, they will just immediately gruesomely rip your throat out in what is a, probably a 10 by 10 grid of pixels. But, you know, yeah, the game is really, really fantastic. It's like so much mood and style to it. Every bit, even though it seems very low res, like you can tell everything was done with intention. And even if it's like a place setting in your living room, like you can tell that they spent time to individually articulate the way that the chairs are positioned and, you know, the way the placemat's set, just to kind of give you something to make it feel real, which you didn't get from when a game like this came out way back when. Even though it's clearly this, you know, retro in a number of ways, it definitely has character. Hmm. Oh God, yeah, I love this game. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I have heard about this game for years too. I know this game's been around for quite a while, and I've always heard people say it's a good game. And I thought it was gonna. I didn't realize what a fast-paced, frantic game it was. I thought this was gonna be like kind of a, I don't know, like an RPG or something. And it's not at all. It's a it's just really, really frantic, fun game. So that's my capper thoughts.
Are you playing it on Switch or PC?
Switch.
Nice.
Yeah. Again, well, I got it as part of a summer sale with like that and that Shovel Knight box.
Hmm. I'll tag in with a couple of quick ones here. I don't have too much else. I spoke briefly a couple shows back about a game called Mabel in the Wood. I finished that one. It's not good. It is a bad game. But it's also a short game, so I kept pressing through it to see if it would do something to kind of turn things around and get better. It did not. It got worse the further I got. A lot of technical issues. There were points where I found myself clipping inside of walls and just taking an instant death. There was a point where the game just hard locked on me and I had to close it and restart and lost some progress that way. Generally, the checkpoints are pretty generous. But they attempt to sort of fuse this like really quick platforming, like almost like a Celeste, but not as good, with a sort of Metroid style where you have to like do some backtracking, find some keys that allow you to progress into the next room. But that never really gets very complex either. And they also give you these skill upgrades through animal transformations. Your most basic one is you transform into a fairy, and that's how you execute basically your jumps. And you can transform into a ghost, and that gives you like a forward dash. Or a statue, and that gives you like a quick forward attack. Because you're engaging with combat by going into these transformations and then quickly going back out of them. So your most basic attack is going to be transforming into a fairy, jumping over an enemy, transforming back into a human. And then the sword that you're carrying that's too heavy for you to have much mobility with snaps toward you to where you are. And if there's an enemy between where you left your sword and where you landed, it will do some damage as it's going through them. And the game, aside from the technical issues, I found out about 3/4 of the way in that there's also the ability or the possibility to do a complete pacifist run, where you don't kill any enemies, and when you have these boss fights, there's supposedly some way to finish the boss fight by escaping without actually killing them. And when you kill the bosses, like in any sort of Metroid or Mega Man style game, you get a power up that gives you a new skill in the game. And if you're doing a pacifist run, that means they have to make the platforming challenges completely doable with your default skill, which is the fairy transformation that I was mentioning before. So it leads to a real imbalance in terms of the level design. So they give you this pool of 7 or 8 different transformations that you can use, but you don't have to use any of them in order to actually accomplish anything in the game. And you know, by the time I was 40% of the way through the game, I was like, these other things are just kind of useless, and I was just using your default fairy power up throughout the entire thing.
So I'm watching a video here, and the only attack he's doing is pulling the sword to you. Is that literally your only attack?
No, but that is definitely the most useful one. There's also a spider transformation where, you know, if you shoot like some spider silk at an enemy, you'll do some damage. There's also a short forward dash where you turn into a statue that'll do some damage as well. But no, that's going to be your most efficient one because it's good for combat and platforming at the same time.
And I know here it's got a 50% review on Metacritic, which, considering that video games are already on a curve, this is one of the worst reviewed games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm sorry that you played it. I'm sorry. Did you spend money on this?
$3. I picked it up on a sale.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't, like, better spend elsewhere. It makes me sad because this actually does look like this could be a fun little game, but.
Yeah, it definitely has like that retro pixel art style to it, to where it lures you in with like, this is going to be like a fun short little platforming action game, and what could go wrong because they're making a retro style game? We should have this down packed by now, and they did not. They did not have it down packed.
Who is Mabel? Are you Mabel, or is Mabel a character?
Yes, you are Mabel, and you are in the wood, and like about 80% of the way through the game, I started like trying to construct this narrative around it to like you where you're like you weren't quite sure what your role was going to be. Are you the savior or the destroyer of this kingdom that you're in? And of course, like, I don't care about the narrative at all, but also like there was never really any sort of narrative impetus to what you were doing in the first place. You were just like, okay, I'm in this woods, I might as well go around and explore things, and look, there's a giant spider, I guess I should kill that.
So it turns out you probably just like took psychedelic mushrooms and you're in a Wendy's parking lot or something.
I think it's an Arby's, but yeah. So
it's Arby's, of course, yeah.
Arby's is pretty cool.
Just so many of your games make so much sense. I'm a young elf. I'm just running around breaking into people's homes.
It's true.
Pots.
And I'm a
and
SWAT.
Throwing chickens.
I'm a member of a SWAT team, and I'm in a mansion, and everyone's turned into a zombie.
Oh, you know? I get it. You're throwing the sword attached with the spider. So I'm sorry. I'm watching a video here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me sad. So, it looks like this would be a fun little thing, but yeah.
It was not. It was not. But another game that I'm playing that I'll get into a little bit more when we do the official show is Double Kick Heroes. And this is a rhythm game where you are fighting off hordes of zombies as you drive down the freeway with the power of rock.
That's amazing. I'm on board.
Yep.
Nice.
And Ryan, if you get a chance, see if you can find a soundtrack. Because there are actually a couple of really fun little tracks. One is called Jurassic Opera, where, you know, they pull a fast one, and instead of running from like human zombies, you're running from dinosaur zombies, and there's a giant T-Rex chasing your car. And it's especially appropriate because the level just before that one, you are running from the clan.
Oh my gosh.
And it's hard to tell if they're zombified clan members that you are running from and shooting, because they have their white robes on, which is how you know that they're the clan. Like, it was really bizarre because it was just like out of nowhere. Like, here's like all of these putrid, wretched, undead zombies and creatures and stuff, and also the clan is in there. So I guess like they're in appropriate company.
I mean, how could you tell them apart?
the hats.
Oh, the hats did it. Oh, the hats did it.
The little pointy hats they gotta wear. That's nice.
Uh huh.
It's always like low. It's low effort, you know.
No, because it was so bizarre because like just all of a sudden like, okay, in another level driving forward, and is that a guy in a white robe? There's a bunch of them. Am I running from the clan? I'm definitely running from the clan. And it made me want to do even better on the level because fuck them, it's the clan.
You look white based on the artwork. Is there any kind of racial identity for your character?
There are a number of characters in the game, and some of them are people of color.
You also have that same star shirt that is used by the Steven Universe series. The main character, Steven, always wears that same shirt.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, there is a story mode as well as an arcade mode, and I went with the arcade mode because it just kind of gets to the gameplay without having any sort of narrative. So maybe there is some sort of reason that, like, And I should maybe try the story level just to that point to see, like, why it is the clan is after you, other than, like, maybe they're just in the South and there was a clan rally during the zombie apocalypse.
Well, it's, like, it's kind of always thought of as shitty writing to insert... Like, zombies themselves are kind of, like, a shitty construct for a bad guy. Same with the Nazis and same with the Ku Klux Klan. It's just, they're a monolithic entity for you to hate and for you to be okay with brutalizing. And
yeah, there's not much so much room for nuance
right,
when it comes to the undead and hate groups.
But then you get to combine the two, huh? Yeah, you get them both. It feels a little extra spicy when you get to murder someone like that.
But yeah, like there are a couple of really good tracks. There are also a couple of tracks, you know, rhythm games. I don't have much skill for those particular like Guitar Hero type stuff. And it's very much like Guitar Hero, where you have the notes on a track and you're pressing the corresponding buttons as it goes along. I started on the normal difficulty. I'm about halfway through. I'm about to drop it down a level because I just don't have it for a rhythm game.
Didn't you know how to play a guitar? Like, you have rhythm, John.
And there was a point where I could read music, but it's requiring some very fast inputs. And I while I could play a guitar, I could not shred as a heavy metal guitarist would.
Not that attitude.
Sad, dude.
That's true. Like, well, you want me to, like, grow out the hair and...
No, just be able to play the instrument.
Mm. Okay.
You don't have to have...
The persona.
The persona in order to play the music. Like, that's not a thing.
I think it sounds like we need to form a band here.
I mean, I got the long hair already.
Yeah, there you go.
I got this. Which, speaking of my long hair, John, have I told you?
Front man, then.
Have I told you that every single time I see your mom, she brings up me donating my hair to Locks for Love, and okay. I think this is her way of saying cut my hair.
It probably is.
I think the real question is, John, what are you letting Wes do and spending all this time with your mom?
And what's funny is when she saw you that day, Wes, she immediately took to WhatsApp and she was like, I saw Wes.
She's bragging.
Ooh, like,
I think she was like trying to tell Jeremy, like, so that Jeremy knows you're still alive.
I mean, I'm not living with him anymore, so he probably doesn't care.
I found out that he's not in Belgium anymore today.
Is that starting today? No, the 31st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're moving the 31st, and then they're moving into the new place like September 1st or something. I forget what.
So are they homeless until then? What?
I don't know. It's like a day or two apart. I mean, like it's nothing
24
crazy.
Hours of homelessness?
Well, they also have to, like, fly.
I suppose.
They're driving there. They're driving there.
Oh, they're driving?
Yeah, he's packing up
I thought they were going to fly.
No, they're...
He's got one of those water boats.
He's got to take all of his stuff. They didn't get a company to move or anything. They're doing it themselves.
Oh, they are?
Packing up a truck and going.
That sounds just horrible.
Did they rent one? Because I know like where they're going to be living, they're going to need a car. But I didn't think they were going to be able to buy one before they move.
No, I don't think they didn't do that to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't talk to them often.
Oh, so then they must be renting it. I imagine it must be hella expensive to be renting a truck and then driving it.
Probably cheaper than the moving company. Country. Like the quotes they're getting for moving companies were crazy.
Well, that's true, because they probably like knowing they're a smart couple, so they probably crunched the numbers and figured that shit out. But
well, one of them's smart.
Junior.
It's like, oh shit, it's her birthday today.
It is.
Junie's birthday.
Mm.
This makes good podcast. What people don't know are family members.
Talking about his sibling and niece birthdays.
He can edit this out. But I'm not gonna. He'll be fine.
No,
this stop being a lazy schmuck.
No. So, one other game that I want to bring up, because I was actually looking forward at what games are coming out on other systems for when we do our retro show, and it's going to be the 21st anniversary of Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun, which I plan on talking about, because I love that game. But I was looking at like how I can actually buy it to play through it again and report back on how well it holds up. And the only way that I could find to actually get this game legally, ethically, was to get it through the EA Origin store, which is just an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, that's like, gross.
I couldn't get it on Steam. I couldn't get it on Good Old Games, anything like that. I don't know what EA was thinking. Like, did they just like set up this app, this Origin app, and then completely forget about it? Because the first thing I had to do before I could even run the install execute was I had to do some research and find a video where someone taught me how to do two patches to it.
Oh, God.
Before I could even run the install. So, and what EA did was they sold me the game before they made sure the app was running correctly on the computer.
Oh my God.
So I had already made the purchase. I was like, okay, well, I've already bought this and I don't want to have to talk to EA to get my $20 back. So let me just figure out how to make Origin work. So I did. And I got Origin up and running. And the pack that they sold me actually had a really good value because it had the original Command & Conquer Windows 95 version with the Covert Ops expansion, Red Alert and the expansions for those, Counter-Strike and Aftermath. It had Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun and the Firestorm expansion, Red Alert 2. There's a ton in there. I don't think it went as far as Red Alert, or I don't know if there was a Red Alert 3, but it didn't go as far as Command & Conquer 3, which came out in 2005. I think it was just the Command & Conquer 1 and 2, and then Red Alert 1 and 2, and all the expansions for those. But there's a lot of game in there for $20. And then I went to, when I finally got it all working, I went to go play Tiberian Sun for research for the next show. And it was running extremely poorly. The frame rate was bad. It was just moving slowly in general.
Such an old game. There's no reason for that.
Right. Right, and this game came out in 1999, you know? So I tried to, a couple of times, actually open up the options menu when I was actually in a mission to see if there was maybe something in the settings I could adjust to help it run a little bit better. And every time I tried to do that, it would just hard lock and crash. So I was like, okay, let me see if this is happening with any other games. So I just went back to base, Command & Conquer 1, Windows 95 version, and that ran okay. So everything was good there. And I started doing more research, and there's another patch that I can do, again, not through EA, through a third party, like where I got these other patches, in order to get Tiberian Sun working properly.
Thanks, EA.
Yeah, this is a train wreck.
How are
this
they still EA a company? I don't...
Right.
They're still living off the glory days of NHL 97. That really was like a high watermark for gaming.
That's just their pedigree. That's their legacy going forward.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But it shows like such a disregard for like any sort of care that they have like, to actually get these things working properly. Like if they're not going to do it themselves, like sell it through Steam. Let someone else do the heavy lifting for you. You know, sell it through good old games, ideally, and let them do the work for you to make sure that these things are running properly on, you know, whatever new operating system comes out.
Sell it through that trash Epic Game Store, whatever that garbage is.
Sure, even just, that, because even that would at this point would be better than EA Origin. That is a trash application. Like these are fucking 25 and 20 year old games, and they can't get them running properly? Come on.
Did you say that it was like a collection of games, though?
It is, yep. Yeah.
I'm surprised they wouldn't just have it all in one condensed loader. Like, you just load up a thing, and then you select which version of the game you want to play. That way it's all self-contained, and everything just gets run through, you know, like, whatever. Every game can run that way.
That would make sense.
You had to download each individual game?
Yes.
Oh my God. All right.
Yeah, so...
All right.
Download them, play through them, then fucking delete them.
No, because,
yeah. So, that's what I got. Ryan, you got one more?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It went on sale, so I got the Bethesda Doom 2016 game.
Nice.
How is it?
Switch. It is... I can't gush about this enough. I love this game. It is so, so good. It's really, really enjoyable. They did such a fucking great job with it. It runs really well on the Switch. It plays really well. I think I looked at some side-by-side comparison shots with, like, top-of-the-line PCs running the same game. And it's a little bit of a quality drop-off, but, it's serviceable. If I didn't know that, if I didn't bother playing it on some other system, I would think this is how it was intended to look. It is... So, like, if you played the other Doom games, obviously Doom is very much a kind of a run-and-gun, fast-paced, like, action game, first-person shooter. It's still very much that in parts. It's a lot more complex than that, though, and I really wasn't prepared for how this game was going to play. I guess as far as like the run and gun kill stuff, they actually have these things like they're called like glory kills, where you get an opportunity when you're up close with them to do some kind of special kill. And the nice thing about it is that it drops ammo and health on doing that. So instead of like, you know, and there will be like those supplies around the maps, but instead of like obsessing over where are all of my resource replies or supplies, it's sort of like just execute the kills well, and then you'll just keep replenishing your stuff. You know, it's all the same standard guns, right? Like, you get a shotgun. Shotgun feels great. Like, if every Doom game needs to have a good shotgun, it's got one. The pistol, I don't think I used it as soon as I got a shotgun. I just kind of stopped using it. So far, I've got the plasma gun, which is really, really good, and a rocket launcher, also awesome. All of the weapons are upgradable for finding things and uncovering stuff. You get components to improve the guns in the same way that you get to improve a lot of other little things in the game, right? Like, there's passives within your character that you upgrade based on accomplishing things. You get, like, attribute upgrades, not like skill points, or sorry, not like stat points for that, but more like skills for the items that you use in the world. So, for example, you can invest enough points in it, and like the barrel, explosive barrels just simply don't hurt you at all. Or you can do things like find secrets easier. It'll alert you when there's a secret nearby you. Yeah, like the thing that I probably wasn't most prepared for is like this game is basically Metroid. This game is like Metroid Prime. It's like the most beautiful Metroid Prime you've ever seen, except instead of like Samus, it's the Doom guy. That's probably the most fun about this whole thing is like a map you don't play through in like 5 minutes. I guess you could play through it in 5 minutes if you knew exactly what to do, but really, the maps are layered. By the way, John, for that alone, as someone that like wants to be an amateur cartographer, like, this game is the best map I've ever seen in a game. I'm not lying. It is the most fun exploration of a map that you can ever imagine.
Shit, is that sale still going?
Yeah.
Sold it to him.
And again, and if two of the first things that you can upgrade are expanded map view. And what's nice is, like, if you're in a... Because like, the maps are absolutely just massive. Like, when you've actually explored an area, it's blue. The ground will turn, like, this light shade of blue. If it's something you haven't explored, there's a sort of a fog of war effect, kind of. So you can kind of see it. It'll start to expand, but it'll be gray. So you know you haven't explored that path yet. And then in every map, there is like a codec for the entire level. So if you can find that, it's godsend. And like, I remember the first one I found where I was like, man, this map's big. And I think I've really got this thing under control. I finally find the codec map for the whole level. And it's like, I've explored 40% of it. Like, the thing is just so giant. And what's nice is that they also tell you everything you need to find. They tell you all of the secrets, they tell you all of the upgrades, as long as you are in their proximity or have the skills invested to get better vision of them all. So you're never really spending any time like wondering if you found everything. The game instantly alerts you if you have found everything. So again, no waste of time. It's all really, really fun. Oh, and it's almost like, again, it's like, I feel like I want to give all of these compliments about the game. It's very much like Metroid Prime. It's also like a Resident Evil game, in that there's a lot of horror elements to it and a ton of ammo scarcity. It reminds me a lot of a really great first-person horror game called Fear. I don't know if you guys ever played those Fear games, but they were a blast. And they were compartmentalized, so it was sort of like you'd have one segment that was a horror segment and then one segment that was like a run-and-gun fight segment. So the game balances that really, really well. Yeah, there's a lot of fun, like, platforming in it. Like, who would have thought, like, dude, Doom would have a lot of fun platforming? It does. Yeah, the game looks fantastic. Spent a lot of time on the visuals, clearly. A big drawback that I think a lot, just, like, fundamentally as a first-person shooter, the guns are great. All the guns feel really good when you get to play with them, and all of the bad guys are cool. There's no, at least I haven't encountered any bosses yet. They do the really smart approach of, like, when you see the first of this kind of monster, it's horrible fight. Like, it'll usually be, like, in a confined space, and you don't have the good guns yet, or you haven't upgraded anything. So that thing feels like a boss. But then the next thing you know, like, an hour later in the game, you're fighting three of them at the same time. you know. They find a really clever way to make you at first scared of the thing and then used to it as the game progresses on, and it's like, now there's two of these guys.
Emotionally numb inside. Great. Yeah.
Well, not even that, because they introduce the next thing, which is even more fucking terrifying. So they kind of just kind of lead you along, kind of keep you kind of slowly expanding, and it's like little pieces of expansions. It's not like you're going to just find the gun that wins the game, right? It's you got to do a lot of little things to spec your character and make little individual decisions that you think better. Like, I could have spent my upgrade points on other things, but I chose to spend it on the map because the map gives me everything. So now I'm like stockpiling all of the extra stuff to unlock the other things. It's really a fantastic... only complaint, and it's a complaint that's universal for first-person shooters on consoles, I just can't get the settings right to where I feel comfortable with a controller playing it. I've always been a mouse and keyboard kind of guy. Like, controllers are great if it's like a fucking racing game or something, you know, like, or a fighting game feels better on a controller than a keyboard and mouse. But for first-person shooters, like... I just feel very clumsy when I play them. So I can't, it's a vertical, horizontal axis that bars that you can control of how sensitive they are. And then you have one that's sort of like a mouse smoothing thing. So again, I've messed around with it literally every time I've played the game. Like every time I pick it up, I'm like, I just don't feel exactly right with it. So that.
I think for that game, they did a patch to add in some motion aiming. And for me, like, that's when I find the controls for a shooter game on console most comfortable, is when I can, like, line up, like, to get into the general vicinity with the analog sticks and then just do a little bit of nuance with the motion controls.
I didn't even think of that. Is that available for like a pro controller, or would I need to have it in the handheld mode?
You should be able to do it.
Yeah. Oh, if that's available, I will definitely do that. Because again, it's a lot of just like touch accuracy. Like you'll get basically a machine gun, and you have two. You'll have eventually two branching paths to upgrade the gun, but the first one is a scoped view, so you see very far away, and it's really for precision. And that's when I like kind of struggle the most, where I'm like, mouse and keyboard, I'd be flipping through this, just like hitting all of those sweet spots on the bad guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, it's just like, just doesn't exactly feel right. So if there is that, I'll definitely turn that on. So yeah, this game is totally worth it. This game is really, really fun. And again, it does definitely have that crass, violent component that you would expect from any Doom game. Very flashy, but it's also very cerebral, and there's a lot of exploration and fun and puzzles and jump scares and all of the stuff they seem to have done very well. This game reviewed like crazy well too. Like, obviously it's earned its 95 out of 100 review or whatever. But yeah, totally get it if you're looking for a fun game.
Cool. Well, you guys got anything else before we close it out here?
No, I've just been playing that WoW, getting ready for the new Shadowlands expansion and probably October, so.
Yeah. Guys, got any movies you're excited to see now that theaters are going to open back up?
Really? Here in Florida?
Well, allegedly on the 20th, we'll see. I don't know what sort of guidelines they're going to have as far as distancing and mask wearing. I assume that there will be like mask requirements as well as...
No one's wearing that during a movie.
The you know, a science thing. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they enforce that sort of thing, because, you know, they'll have to have people coming in, interrupting things and saying, put your mask on, or kicking people out. But, yeah, it's definitely, like, a higher risk environment, because you're in an enclosed space with, you know, a group of people, even though I assume they'll try to keep the group small for a couple hours. So, yeah, that's, like, the high risk situation.
I mean, because, like, half, especially for, like, the younger audience, like, that's where you go to, like, make out with your girlfriend. Like, how are you going to do that if with the social distancing measures?
It's true.
Just doesn't quite work out. No, I haven't watched any movies lately. I watched two movies at my parents' house because when the sound was off, so it was like, kind of on in the background. I watched 21 Jump Street, which...
Nice.
Just looked terrible. It looked awful. And then a Green
that
Lantern.
That movie's ridiculous.
Which was okay. I thought it was all right.
Yeah. 21 Jump Street, well, my expectations for that movie were so low that, like, It was definitely, it knew what it was. Like, that movie didn't have any, like, assumptions that it was going to be something amazing, so they just had fun with it. So I thought, you know, for what they were doing, it was a fun movie.
Well, I was in and out, and the sound was off, but, well, yeah, wasn't one of the Francos in that? It wasn't the not James Franco, but his brother. Wasn't he the bad, was he a bad guy in 21 Jump Street?
Maybe.
He looked familiar.
I think it was just a misunderstood kid.
Oh, is that what it was?
He got mixed up in the wrong drug cartel.
He got in with the wrong crowd.
Oh, man.
Made mistakes.
Oh, yeah, and then, yeah.
He made some bad choices.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And Green Lantern, again, without the sound, it's a functional film. It sure does things, you know. It's happening.
Ugh, such a gross movie.
But yeah, we're.
Do you ever stop to think, like, so his weakness is yellow, the color yellow. I mean, like, he's all powerful because of his you know, ring that produces green. Well, two things I noticed. One, he came up with the cheesiest fucking solutions with that ring. Like, his ring could basically produce the most powerful weapon and then just instantly kill any bad guy, right? But instead, he sees the bad guy shooting something at an innocent civilian. So his idea is, let's build a catapult. And he uses his ring to manufacture a catapult that then catches the thing and shoots it back. And I'm just like, that's so fucking contrived.
Like, yeah. Let's build a race car to catch the helicopter and take it down the ramp and, like, come on, people.
Oh, Wes, you remember this movie very well.
God,
this is part of that big action set piece.
Yeah, that horribleness is burned into my consciousness, unfortunately.
Oh, man, but his weakness is yellow. Like, literally, you could piss on him and he couldn't stop you. I mean, he'd beat you up.
If you're very dehydrated. If you're highly dehydrated.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, I kept thinking about that, where I'm just like, what a weird way to not, like, be able to do your thing. Like, yellow? Okay. Does that mean that there's, like, a whole color hierarchy out there? Like, green is yellow. Green is half yellow and half blue. Like, he already is yellow, to an extent.
Yeah, I don't know much about Green Lantern, but there is, like, a hierarchy. Like, there's the yellow, like, power rings, and then there's blue, there's red, there's orange,
there's like, black, yeah. There's white, there's pink.
Are you making this up?
No,
because I believe you.
I am definitely not. They're all different cores, and they all go with different things. Like, green's like will, where blue is like hope, and yellow is fear.
Are there plaid lanterns?
So they're different emotions and stuff like that. It's a whole big complex thing. Like the big DC comic book series, The Darkest Night, I think that's the name of it. I think it's called The Blackest Night. I forget. It's something to do with their chant thing.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it wraps a lot, if not all, of the cores in this big thing event to deal with the black core or whatever, which like brings. I think it. I could be wrong on this because I never read it and I'm not a DC fan, but I think it brings, at the time Batman was dead, I think they bring him back from the dead.
Okay.
And there's like a zombie Batman. I could be wrong on this. Listeners may be mad. I don't care. I'm not a fan. So
lean into it. Lean into it hard. Yeah, zombie Batman comes back.
Yeah, zombie Batman. Yeah, zombie Batman. So you gotta deal with
that. He kills Alfred.
Yeah, exactly. Just brutally. I knees him in the face and his head explodes. I mean, just like Doom.
Oh, that's terrible. But hey, it's what, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? You know, he had to know this was coming at some point. He probably didn't expect the, you know, zombie version of his former master. But, you know, he probably knew that he was going to get it somewhere. He was like, oh, is it going to be the Penguin that does it to me or whatever? But,
just like the gypsy woman said.
I bring up the movie theaters because I'm still... I'm crossing my fingers. I'm holding out hope that I'll be able to see New Mutants finally, because that one's supposed to come out August 28th.
Yeah.
August 28th.
I do miss the movie going experience, quite frankly. I really am looking forward to this being over so I can go back and do some things just like that. Just
you let me know, John. I will go with you. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted if you guys are interested. And then like the new Christopher Nolan one is supposed to be September 3rd, something like that.
What's that one?
Tenant, I think it is. I think it's called.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I don't know much about it because I purposely didn't watch a trailer. I just noticed that Christopher Nolan had a new movie. So, like, yeah, I'll probably see that.
It was the Black Widow movie that got delayed.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I don't care. I don't care.
I mean, I'll probably eventually end up seeing it anyway, but, you know, maybe not in a theater. But Yeah, like the whole like lineup of like Marvel movies. It's been a while since we talked about the MCU, hasn't it?
It's been a minute.
But like, I think what are the ones for this year? It was supposed to be Black Widow. Was Eternal supposed to be this year? I don't remember.
Possibly. I think the Doctor Strange one was supposed to be this year, was it?
Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange looks like it'd probably be a fun one. Because they're actually, like, they've said anyway that they're trying to make it just more like a straight-up horror movie. So they're trying to mix up the genres a little bit. But that's one of the reasons I'm excited about New Mutants, is because it does look like a different type of movie. It's a horror movie that happens to have, you know, children with superpowers in it. But yeah, that's like Doctor Strange 2 looked like it could be interesting if they go a different route with that one. But you know, just the general like lineup of Marvel movies going forward, outside of like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I think will be a lot of fun. There's not you know, not really a whole lot of characters I give a shit about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm actually going through the cast of this new New Mutants movie just to kind of see who is who and who's playing what. And it's kind of funny because it's a lot of people that I like instantly associate with other roles that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you've got the woman, one of like the young girl from the Game of Thrones movies.
Yeah,
I guess her name's Maisie Williams, right? And you've got Charlie Heaton, who is in Stranger Things. Who I only know is that character. So, you know,
what did he play in Stranger Things?
He was Jonathan in Stranger Things.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's Cannonball.
Yeah, bad with character names. Oh yeah, and he's going to be a character I don't think you like very much, right? Don't you usually trash Cannonball?
I do, because he's not very good.
Yeah. Well, you got an okay actor playing him. So
yeah.
Maybe that'll elevate him into something different.
I mean, it's okay that, you know, Cannonball's in the movie. Like, I don't particularly like Cannonball, but I don't begrudge his existence either. The movie has the two things you need, and that's Ileana Rasputin and Danny Moonstar.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Ileana. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, we have this actress, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
So I really don't know much about. I mean, she was in that show Peaky Blinders, which I thought was awesome.
They better do it right. If they got Ileana in it, they better do it right.
Oh, she was in Split and Glass. Interesting.
Yes. I didn't see those. Yeah. Were they any good?
Yeah, they're okay. Oh, Ryan, give them thumbs up.
I'm right. John's wrong. They're great.
I thought they were fine. So
that happy note.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now that I think about it, like, I mean, I haven't been so out of the loop on film this year. I mean, I just feel like it's kind of a lost year for the cinema, just for features.
Yeah. 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 I'm one of the weirdos that still has the Netflix by mail, where they mail me the Blu-ray discs, and you know, I keep up with what movies are coming out on home video like that.
I would think they'd be much more busy now. Like, they maybe have to hire a third person because everybody's at home. I don't know.
Maybe. Somebody's got to keep the post office in business because the government's not helping.
Oh, God. What would be great is if just one time they just send you a VHS cassette. It's just like, hey, we're looking out for you, man. We don't have this fucking movie.
Wait, this
Go
is the
away.
New Black Widow movie. Why is it...
But the point I was getting at is I don't remember. The slate of new releases of movies coming out on video has been just a desert for the past 3 or 4 months, and then we're probably going to see the same thing with theatrical releases for several months because movie productions have shut down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, theaters may reopen, but we might see a lot of theaters playing older movies.
Yeah. Whenever we get. Like, I do what we call Tune In Tuesday, when I like change the layout for the movies and the books and stuff for new releases. And it's always like these bizarre, it's just been nothing but these bizarre straight-to-DVD mm-hmm. movies that no one's ever heard of.
Starring Steven Seagal.
Just most random crap. I don't...
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Or is it Mark Wahlberg? I think someone was like, made a funny parody photo or like poster for like a movie coming out of him, and it's basically like generic action cop, and he's like, and then the subtitle's like, and this time he's struggling with alcohol. Like, yeah, he is. He's definitely built a little empire upon himself of just white guy action movies.
Mm.
I'm okay with that. I like Mark Wahlberg. So,
no, you don't, man. You hate him.
Yeah. It's all right. It was good in other guys.
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, no, he's a okay. I don't know. The only thing I'm aware of is what there's. Did you guys watch the first season of that show, The Boys?
Yes. I'm excited about season two.
Yeah. That's been like blasted everywhere. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of ads for it coming out the new season, and it ended on such a wild cliffhanger that like
sure did.
Pretty pumped to see where it goes from here because it was a cool series.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
So next up, we got some options here. We should do the retro show.
Okay.
But we are coming up to the end of the month, so
kind of dreading this show.
We have to. I know why. We're gonna find out. You're gonna tell this story.
I hope it's not a letdown at this point because it's kind of built up at this to yeah, this
there,
degree.
There are lofty expectations here. So.
If it's garbage, tell me. We'll re-edit it and we'll come up with a better one.
So. I'm hoping for deep emotional scars here.
I'm okay now.
And if you want to like, if you want to expand on it, like maybe like puff this story up to be a little larger than life, I say do it. You know,
I don't know how.
Maybe bring a celebrity in, man. Mark Wahlberg was there.
He laughed at me while it was happening.
So Brian, you have a copy of Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Yes. For N64.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I was not able to find one. There's another game from Konami that came out in August of 99 called Hybrid Heaven. So I got that one coming in.
Oh, okay. What kind of game is that?
It's pitched as a sort of Tomb Raider style game.
Okay.
So we'll see. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier, well, Tiberian Sun to talk about, as well as a bunch of other things. And Wes, you have, of course, played Gauntlet because you have that story about it.
Yes.
So at the very least, we'll have that as well.
It's been since this story, so I haven't played it since. So.
It was so deeply wounding that you avoided the game forever.
But I've also played Tiberian Sun, so.
Yes, so good. We'll have a
lot to talk about that. We got stuff going on.
Nice. And depending on, we might shift some things around depending on when my game comes in, my copy of Hybrid Heaven, because we also have the official show to get to this month.
Well, we're going to do an episode dedicated to Deep Blue Sea, right? I mean,
I hope so. We better.
On the last retro show, I think we got a lot of good content there.
Samuel Jackson getting picked off by a shark? Come on.
My hat is like a shark's fin.
Oh, man. Wow, that LL track. That is
Oh, my God.
That is
train wreck.
Peak 90s. There you go.
I saw, I think it was on IGN the other day. I saw a list of the most 90s movies. And of course, like someone was like using this as like taking cheap shots at the 90s. And one of the movies they were taking shots at was Fight Club. And at that point, I was like, fuck you, IGN.
No. Yeah, I love this movie. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of douchebags that signed up for that whole mentality, though. I mean, I think we're kind of, look at what's going on in politics right now. It's all, I don't know, anarchistic, pissed off white guys, you know? So probably a lot of them were inspired by this. Or like that Joker movie, like frankly, Joker is kind of like the new Fight Club. Tyler Durden guy.
You know, I think the people that ascribe to the sort of behaviors of a Tyler Durden character really kind of missed the point of that movie.
Oh,
where,
absolutely.
Like, the point of that movie was like, hey, yes, you feel these things, but don't act this way.
Yes. Also, by the way, the most 90s movies has to be Clueless.
Like, that was on the list, yes.
If there was like a movie that said, well, what is the fucking 90s, I would feel like it'd have to be that.
Mm. Maybe we'll do our own 90s when we get to the end of 1999 on our retro show.
Ooh, yeah. That may be fun.
Because I think that the point of this list was like, I think the point of this list was kind of like, you know, the 90s, like it had like movies like Clueless, but a lot of these were just kind of like schlocky trash as well. And I think that there's a bit more to offer there.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But anyway, so we'll figure out over the next few days the order of the next lineup of shows, but.
Oh, are we still going to do the ghost type ranking? Was that a thing that might happen for whenever we
get
around to it?
Okay. Beginning of September will be our ghosts.
Okay. Yeah, well, we got a few weeks then.
Or should we save the ghosts for October? The spooky show.
Oh, I like that. I'm okay pulling audible on that one.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah. We'll do a different one in September. We'll figure it out. But anyway, that's it. That's the end. Until next time, everybody.
So long.
So long.
Oh, I hate you.